There's a feeling for your face. First of all, we did all of our people around the gold ground. All of them all. I think that was a very good thing for the gold ground. And we had a hobby and a system. Basically. Called all of them. And then the next one is the fire one, which is the indiscriminating wisdom. Unpacking, so blowing hot and cold, unpacking. Or being able to find that point of relationship. It's a really nice way to use that. Either paranoid, try to stay intolerant and keep all the power, or aware that there is only the power of awareness, the only activity. Nothing separate, the only activity is awareness. And then the center was, you know, water, consciousness. Either angry or looking for the trick or, you know, that really nice way that the mind does that, you know. it doesn't quite apply to me. Well, I wouldn't use the discipline stand, that kind of thing. Or reflect, oh yeah, yeah, there's some reflection. Awesome. Maybe like this one. So, was there a gift from one of them? Is there a gift from that? Or all of them? That's the tool you're going to work and go to with all beings, your mother. Go to the refuge. Because you have this tool, this gift, this is what you've been given. This is your talent, this is your power, you're going to use it. And this is what you're going to do with it. You're going to use it for the benefit of all people. Because you know you cannot do that yourself, you're asking for a blessing from that power of the universe that knows awakening is the only thing we're all doing. That can come true clearly if you like to manifest in your life. We just ask and then we have it melt into us. I want to do the dissolution, or it got interesting, space its mind. You can see the screen on which the movie was playing. Any questions, answers, comments, or something? The tantra is recognizing the powers you have, seeing them that they can be used either for the wholesome or the unwholesome, deciding how you want to use them, and then moving them for the benefit of all people. It's really what tantra is. Taking what is, marrying it, and moving it to the other. The word means thread. So what you're going to thread, what you're going to tie, what you're going to string together. Questions, answers, comments, or complaints? And the refuge dissolves into oneself, because when you're faced with suffering that is greater than you can deal with, you have two choices. You can be overwhelmed or you can go to an authority greater than you, right? And you can say to the universe, take me to your supervisor. Yeah. I'd like to speak to the person above you. And that's what you're doing in this case. That's called refuge. And so having done that, and you make your vow, and you make your plea, it is very clear that this doorway, you have taken this as far as you can, and you want, this is transcending who you have been to this point. You want something beyond yourself. You don't say, oh, this is transcending what I can do, therefore it's time to collapse, and the whole world is obviously going to blow up, and there's no point in anything anymore. Because that's just the limit of your own perception. And as of this morning, when I looked in the mirror, a fully awakened being was not looking back at me, therefore it could be that there is a supervisor that I might check with. So that's what you're doing. You're going to somebody who knows more than you. Call on that dissolves into you, that is very grateful, then that's all you have to do, is call on that, and immediately there is an answer. Immediately that is, yeah, that's right, I'm here. And so then that dissolves into light after that, and is absorbed into your body. So now you have a fee from that in your being. So you dissolve your usual way of being into the heart, and the heart dissolves, and then it's just this void nature, non-dual nature, whether it's spaciousness and clarity and sort of dancing waves of cause and effect, and spaciousness is the void nature, no one here but you. When they are in fact in you, which is the third, which is the ineffable, which is the mystery, that you know. So you work with that feeling of the spaciousness, so if there is sound or anything else, you know, any of you ever been to a movie, could I see you for a minute? Or watched TV, anybody in this room ever watched television? You've never been into what? You've seen a movie? And you've watched TV? Oh, okay. Just checking, because I didn't see your hand go up. I just want to make sure we're on the same page here. So, you know, if you've been to a movie, any of you ever been to a really engrossing movie? Can I have a show of hands for that one? And any of you, when you were watching a really engrossing movie, ever check your vision to actually pay attention to the screen rather than the movie? Some of us have done that, but not very many here. Have you ever, when you're in the middle of watching a really engrossing movie, checked your vision so that instead of watching the movie, you're watching the screen? Well, it's very interesting to do that. You're not interfering with the movie or with that part of yourself that likes to get involved with it, but you're adding another dimension. And you can do that with the movie that you're watching right now. We're watching a movie right now. And then there is a screen against which that movie is playing, which is the spacious nature of your mind. You see, having established the spaciousness in terms of compassion, now you establish the spaciousness in terms of your own private little movie that you call yourself. Starring you, written by you, directed by you, bit part by you. Camera person, you. Credits, you.
My name.
Maybe. I don't know. I think it's a gift. So then you watch the screen of that, so then you see you have that spacious quality of the mind there, right? It's the same as with the compassion. And when you actually hold that focus of that spacious quality of the mind, then you can also see the activity like waves. But then you have to start playing with that. That's like the beginning point. And further than that, I can't really talk about because they're doing more, you know, they have to certain rituals and things. But that much you can certainly do. That's interesting, isn't it? So that's what we did. We dissolved into that and watched the spacious quality of mind and the ripples of when sounds, feeling sounds and thoughts are like the wind blowing in space. Exactly. Emptiness for the one I exactly. Just for a moment, just rest who I usually am. I will come back. You don't have to worry. I promise. I always promise this and I always come back. I'm not going to lose the thing. I was very good. It's fine. I is very good at coming back, isn't it? Any other questions, answers, comments, or concerns? Did I? Just never know how I'm going to twist these exercises around. That's interesting. Was that useful? Oh! You didn't do it, but you
remember.
Oh, well, now you see, you can drop that into if you want, unless you're enjoying it. Yeah. It's like fine wine. Okay. when you learn how to appreciate it. Once we get good at it, it has a taste, doesn't it? Yeah. Isn't it just like any run-of-the-mill neuroses? It has real depth, yeah. I keep to the basic teaching that Sosa Malione gave me about the five bikinis, but how I use them or can, depending on the circumstances. Yeah, the building. Perfect. So, do you feel like you've had an adequate sufficiency then? Yeah? Good. I'm very grateful to come to Tasmania. I'm grateful for your friendship, for your willingness to practice Dharma with me. It's a great deal for me. A very important thing. Thank you for the gift of your time. The past of your heart and brilliant spirit. And there's a beautiful gold light in our heart that's spread by its whole body. And that our pores in every direction, above, below, past behind, and back. There's throughout the universe, wherever there is suffering due to ignorance of body, speech, and mind, it's the temporality of voice, whatever you want to pray for, it's the spiritual. Whatever wholesomeness is so that is all coming together is shared with all beings for reason. Whatever wholesomeness is so that is all coming together is shared with all beings for reason. Whatever wholesomeness is so that is all coming together is shared with all beings for reason. Thank you for your good. And I got a job. And lo and behold, at the local monastery, in a local monastery, they're having a sashi. It's like 5 days meditation, it's going to every month, and it's a day, and you know, moons out of the as well. And you start at some hour in the morning, I can't remember what hour, all I know is that if I place my clothes in the right order from my apartment door to the door, it took me 4.5 minutes to get from my bed. Bathroom and then dressing on the way out the door. Had that one timed down pretty good. And so I go in there and I go behind somebody else who's obviously been there before, so I, you know, can do everything right, and he goes in, I go in, and you know, I'm really good. I go. And I sort of follow him, almost run into him when he stops abruptly and cushion, and then I realize I don't know how many of the cushions are already taken, and so I kind of go back out again and follow the next person in, you know, because I don't know anything. It's very simple. And the first sitting is there, it's really good, I'm sitting there, and I'm like, I don't know what you're supposed to do because they don't give you any explanation, right? So I don't watch my breath, but maybe I shouldn't be watching my breath. I'm like, okay, I don't know what to do. Okay, well, I am going to watch my breath, so I watch my breath. And then a bell rings, and then I know the person next to me is bow, so I bow. And I turn around, I bow, and they get up and walk. And you walk. You walk like really close to each other with your arms like this, or like this, or like this, really fast, in a little circle inside this little zendo. And then the bell rings, and then you bow again, and then you go, and you sit down, and you bow, and then you. And you sit a lot longer than you walk, and you walk very fast, you know? And I've never done this before, so I don't know anything about it, except about the third sit, I'm going, the resident expert analysis. Well, that's not the right way to sit. Well, they're not doing this. I just don't notice it quite, you know? Well, I don't think this is the right way to go so far. I'm of course not, I'm just walking right now. know, that's not going to be very good. And I begin to notice I sort of half get into it, you know. Yeah, I mean, in Thailand, there's no other way. Yeah, when you're in meditation, that's true. When I wrote the encyclopedia on meditation in Rome, well, that's not the right way. That's definitely not the right way. And then the bell rings to walk, oh my God, my expert just sprang up with the whole Encyclopedia Britannica on meditation and every possible theory and all of that, absolutely in any world system anywhere in all the galaxies of the universe. I knew exactly what was right and wrong about that walking, and it blew me away. That, like, it was so obvious. It was my first day of a session, my third, fourth day in Japan, and already in my brain, unbeknownst to myself, is an expert on Zen. Wow! Was incroyable! Merveilleux! Fantastic! I should be the Roshi! Hayunga! So there's this effort, you know? There's this effort. I mean, that was very nice because it was so obviously impossible. But who is this expert that arrives and tells you exactly what you're doing? Yeah, as if they knew. You know? So that part of it, you just say, thinking. All thinking. And go back to the... Don't get angry, don't get anything. Don't get in any way involved with it. It's just thinking, and it's just like leftover anxiety from another one of those childhood vows where you thought you had to know what was going on to not be stupid. And you had no idea how stupid it was to know what was going on. Where the desire was stronger than the wisdom. So we make these childhood vows and we do these things, like become experts before we even face the decision, you know? Thinking. Does that make sense? You don't want to go there. Boring, boring. Yeah, so just say thinking. Just say thinking. And say, is it more thinking on the in-breath or the out-breath? Is it, yeah, but you ask yourself in the moment. And is it in the beginning or the middle or the end of the in-breath, you know? Go for more detail. So you put your focus back on the breathing, not on the thinking. It's wonderful, you know, to actually catch that, you know, actually, that resident actually is full of shit, and you should send them to Florida or someplace, you know. They obviously need a holiday. Send them to Perth. Go to Perth. Or, but maybe she needs one, maybe she needs two, so she can get over it quicker, you know, right? Thank you. Next question. Yeah, you lift them up and down too? What, you lifted your shoulders? Or just lift them up? And try lifting your hands without lifting your shoulders. You know, I know that, yeah, a lot of people, I used to meditate with my hands there too. A lot of people do. I see some of you doing that. And if that's not comfortable for you, fine. It's interesting that you don't change the space under your armpits when you hold it, I think. And it's nice to see what that actually does. That's what the Tibetans say, that this space is very useful in being able to move mind states. And so if you don't have your hands like this, you're not going to check that out the same way. You're not so likely to do this. But you might do this. And sometimes when people sit with their hands like this, their ass is back, their shoulders forward, and cause a bit of a depression in this part of the lungs. But you can do that equally like this too, you know. If you're really intent on being depressed, you can do it in just about any posture, actually. That's my experience. I've been able to perfect this person in many postures. For what it's worth, not much. Awareness is when your mind is actually clear, not dull. Concentration is it's one-pointed. It's like not moving to different places. Knowledge is when you can identify the awareness and identification clearly, in a clear comprehension toward, it is the first stage toward clear comprehension. Awareness is an overall state, and knowledge is like collective. It's like more like the word would be jnana. Knowing is like based on more than one experience. Awareness can be one experience without any item or any focus for it. Knowledge is based on a series of experiences of awareness of an object, for example. So every beat of the mind, supposedly the mind beats 17 times faster than the speed of light, but I'm not exactly sure who it was that timed it. On what they use as a timer. So sometimes questions just concern me. However, at the moment, I guess we don't need to go there. And every beat of mind has consequences. And when you have experience of a powerful, and what we sometimes refer to as a peak experience, it's because a whole bunch of those beats are focused on the same object. That's called concentration, when the many, many beats of the mind are focused on one object. That's when you have a really, you know, a powerful sense, and you see something, it almost flows or something, you know, something that's really beautiful, or something you fall in love, or something that horrifies you, or something that you can't remember, you don't know what it is, it totally, you know, and then so you see total awareness, energy, and total focus on it, so to the exclusion of anything else, you know, in fact, your whole sense is changed. Like somebody does a gymnastics kind of thing in the gym. You know that? Gymnast? Do you? Anybody not know that thing in your gym? You don't know that thing? Yeah. So that's concentration. That is the result of concentration. When many mind beats are lined up, at one, in one direction, like a laser. It's a very powerful mindset. You have a powerful impression on you. So if, for example, there is trauma, that is what happens, isn't it? There's like powerful concentration because your mind is not dancing anywhere else. It's looking at one thing. It's powerful concentration, I guess. And that marks the consciousness. If there is an experience called jhana, which is concentration developed just as concentration, so that marks the consciousness. Trauma marks the consciousness, or jhana marks the consciousness. In Pali, it's called garuka, G-A-R-U-K-A, karma, kama, K-A-M-M-A, which means heavy action. It's an action that has a heaviness in terms of the experiences of the mind, and it will mark the birth and the rebirth. It will mark that lifetime and the rebirth. And in a way, what you need to do if you don't want it, you know, it's got to be marked by that, is bring insight into that trauma.
or introduction to karma. So if you have a lot of experiences of blissfulness, whether through drugs or through meditation, and then you don't want the consciousness to just advert to a blissful state without insight, when at death moment you don't want the ego's making consciousness to go piddling off to some God realm without any awareness, because you hang out there for a little while and you actually think it's okay, and you actually believe that that's really an attainment. Like you said, that those things are very seductive, and you can actually believe they are your real attainment, but they are not. And so you don't do anything for that. It's like using up the credit and a credit card or something. And then when that circumstance begins to fade, there's this terrible shock and pity that we were talking about having a friend who reminds you that life is short. Not having that friend is much more painful than having a friend, really. Because if all of a sudden everything is changing, the degree of madness and uncertainty and fear, you know that if somebody has had their whole family like that, the sense of the insanity of who am I then, if I am not this that I haven't seen myself to be. And if the absolute devastation of not even having a self, because that which defines self is ripped away. Right? That is a madness greater than the consciousness can work in. And that's what happens in a kind of God realm, from a rebirth of, in a very beautiful state, from beautiful trauma. Understand? Is that you actually feel that that is you, and then all of a sudden that is not you, and the horror and the is like this turns the mind into insanity, and it is always then immediately the circumstances for fear, terror, and a not so happy thing. That makes sense, because it's true from day to day. You don't have to go through the teaching of lifetimes if you don't want to. You don't have the sense of memories in your own continuum. Why would you go there? For me, it's easy to talk either way. But for some people, that's not true. So trauma is like either an opportunity for you to recognize, oh, this is a heavy action and it needs to be balanced by insight. Understanding what is self, what is not self. Then being able to use that experience for compassion. Then being able to turn that compassion to all beings and to the sake of all beings. Right? The three stages of living self. Or any heavy action, any great, joyful, blissful heavy action. Or it's going to rule for a long time. As I was saying about, you know, at which point does the view start? Or at which point does the bliss start? But it stops causing you to be addicted. Then you bring insight into it and then off you. Okay. No idea. And that's the formula for liberation. From all states. And so it's to be liberation. Wholesome or unwholesome karma. In Buddhism, Garuka karma. From heavy action. March the time. For a long time. And the beautiful possibility of our birth in this time and this place is that we are pretending insight and all things into our lives. This is absolutely wonderful. This is not me. This event is not me. This is my experience of self after this event happened. Many beings have. I just, as this is how they feel, I am not alone from this being. Begin to move out of it. Begin to move out of the identification with these 30%. I don't know if that was anything to do with your question, but seem to come out. Deepens the concentration. Yeah, deepens the concentration, and the concentration deepens the degree of awareness, and the awareness of concentration deepens the knowledge, and so you lose less and less of the sense of self, and more awareness of interdependence. So you can, you come to the object and either through insight or through, what's called, either through calm about it and take an insight, yes, they do too, they do the body. And into the body is so basic, and understanding that all of us have until there is a sense of Holy Spirit. We are very aware of the interdependence. We are God. And that is some reason for our so how to see without being alive. Any other questions, answers, comments, or complaints? Okay, pretty good. Can I go further with the mindfulness? Independence arises because there's every, it becomes clearer and clearer that the interdependence of everything, that feeling is interdependent of breath, and breath is interdependent of awareness of other, and you know, and then the sense of self arises, you know, and so forth.
Yes,
I
got.
I guess I got. Yeah, it gets very, very broad. It gets so that then you don't know who to eat. When first experience that for me was like I was sitting doing practice, and it was very clear that my body was a donut. And the essential part of myself was food. You know? Yeah. There's a whole all in the food. It is the body, it is true. Various things pass through that hole, but there's a hole only through. And all the rest of it is just to protect that hole, keep it off there. I'm meditating, and it was all very clear. And allowing within all of that, and then it was just like this porous energy, and there was nothing else, and then everything was God, and it was. And, you know, all plants, all humans, and everything, and just passes through to them. And walking was really interesting. was first along with Christian at CC, I knew that happened. And that can become very profound. But that's not exactly what you're asking. You're asking something else. You're asking about the anxiety and the cross stages of the kind of the rising. Into the karma.
Yeah.
And just being close to inhaling out. And just watching the breath and into the karma.
Yeah.
It's just the definition of the name. If you don't know what it is about, most of it's kind of short. It's just happening. Walls are just another way of defining space. And they're moving all the time. That can either be a great joy or a great fear. And then I have to leave a wall. I kind of showed up in the face, but it's just very good. She's very lovely. I just don't know. I don't know the quote in that. Thank you. So, This is from Practical Basic Exercises, Satipatthana, Vipassana Meditation. And it's two volumes written by Mahasi Sayadaw, who's one of the great Burmese teachers. And this is an excerpt from the second volume, printed in 1971, and it remains a classic in the Four Foundations of Mindfulness as the way of sketching the various levels of exercises. So rather than relying on my memory, because it's been a while since I did, I thought I would just bring this and just read from it. And this part is interesting because he's talking about how you work with piti. Now, piti will arise when the concentration begins to get better. Piti is usually translated as rapture. It really is the prana, or the spirit moving in your being. It is the wind moving through the channels of the body.
And everybody will have some experience with the Sufi when they meditate. Some people will have a lot, because some people are what they call, in the Theravada tradition, body witness meditating. So this is saying, your body will pay, bear witness to where your mind is moving. So if you read about the, you know, Catholic saints, quite often you see this one or that one breaking out in stigmata or bouncing around the pews or stuff like that. And that's basically, they would be body witness meditators. If you meditate somewhere and somebody behind you is going like this all the time, they're basically a body witness meditator. In the description of PT, which I'm going to read to you now, and there is a certain point where there will be a lot of PT will arise. PT is a whole category of things, moving from nausea to actual vomiting, the shit, itchiness, hot, cold, spinning sensation, vertigo. You know, these are all wonderful, as you can tell, signs of rapture. I'm not sure. You could just hardly wait for them to start happening. So I'm just going to read this next little bit. Is that good? And then we'll discuss it more. If the disciple, that's you, feels any itching sensation in any part of his body or her, he should keep her body, his mind on the spot, making a mental note such as itching, in a regulated manner, neither slowly nor quickly. If the itching sensation disappears in the course of thus making mental note, the disciple should then proceed with the usual exercise of knowing the rising and falling. If, however, the disciple feels that the itching becomes unbearable and intends to rub the spot, he should first make a mental note of intention, such as intending, then lift the hand slowly, making a mental note such as lifting. When the hand touches the spot, make a mental note such as touching. Rub slowly at the same time, making a mental note, rubbing, on the ceasing of the itching sensation. If an intention to stop rubbing, should make a mental note, intending, draw back hand slowly at the same time, making a mental note, withdrawing, where the hand rests at its usual place, touching the limb, make the mental note, touching, then proceed with the original exercise, knowing rising and falling. That's pretty well straightforward. We've already covered that. Is that not true? If the disciple feels any other kinds of painful sensation, keep his mind on the spot where such sensation occurs, making a mental note such as painful, suffering, aching, pressing, tired, giddy, and so forth. The mental note must be made in a regulated manner, neither slowly nor quickly. The disciple may feel that the painful sensation ceases after a while, or on the other hand, he may find that the pain is increasing. If he feels that the pain is increasing, should not be alarmed, but proceed with the contemplation resolutely. If carrying on in this manner, the pain usually ceases. If after some time finds that the pain increases and becomes almost unbearable, ignore the pain and proceed with the contemplations of rising and falling. This is after you've gone through the first stages. You understand? In some cases, you understand that this is not beginning. This is after you've gone through, you know, at first you know you can move your leg. Once you know you can move your leg, it gets easier to not move it. So once you do intention, you name intention, and then you watch your leg, then it gets to a point where you don't move your leg because it's easier to not move it. And you're more interested in not moving it. In some cases, the disciple may feel unbearable sensations of pain as soon as he gains certain progress in the samadhi, that is, in attentiveness. You'll feel a certain level of concentration, and you just get to that point, and then sleepiness will come up, pain will come up, itching will come up, nausea will come up, spinning will come up, something will arise, okay? He's using pain here. At times he may feel a choking or a stifling sensation or the painful sensation of being poked by a knife or a sharp pointed stick, or feel a burning sensation of being pricked by sharp needles, feel an unpleasant sensation as if small insects were crawling over the body. Isn't this wonderful? Sign up here. Have I got a deal for you? At times he may also feel strongly the sensation of itching, biting, intense cold, etc. As soon as the disciple stops contemplation, these painful sensations cease. Again, on his proceeding with the contemplation, feel them as soon as he gains the samadhi. As soon as you get into the state of concentration, they start again. As a matter of fact, these painful sensations are neither serious nor are they any form of disease. Now that's bad news, isn't it? They are a common factor and always present in the body. As in a normal condition, the mind is always occupied with more conspicuous objects, these trifling factors become obscure. With the development of contemplation, the mental faculty becomes keener and the disciple is therefore in a position to know these sensations until he has overcome them, until they cease. By resolutely proceeding with the contemplation, the disciple will not come to any harm. If the disciple feels timid and wavers in the contemplation by stopping, he may encounter them again and again. Take that "may" out. Every time you get to a certain state, they will just be there.
Oh, I can't meditate because I get dizzy.
Am I dizzier on the in-breath or on the out-breath? If, however, he proceeds resolutely with his contemplation, he will overcome these painful conditions. He may not again come across this kind of painful state in the course of his contemplation. And that's basically true for most people who meditate. That the various signs of PC will arise, you just note them, and you keep your focus on your practice. And they will just very quickly cease. To some people, they will become stronger. Not that many. If you have experienced trauma in your life, it's likely you will have a burst of much more strong body witness, because what will happen is those energy lines will clear. Where that has been stored in the body will be moved out. There'll be crying or, you know, the body. I was run over by a gravel truck when I was 16, so when that happened, my pelvis was broken in 7 places and I had some injury in the back and internal injuries and then blah, 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 right? So when I'm meditating, all of a sudden my body starts going into this shape that I personally could not perform. And this shaking and these memories of like the pain in different sections, and then finished. And then I'd be sitting back up again, and then my body would bend over and it would do it slightly differently, at a slightly different angle, a slightly different focus, and then that would be finished. You know, and I would go through that for a period of time until that was clear. And then by the time I finished that retreat, I had absolutely no sign of physical injury. I had very little sign before it, but absolutely none after. So this is what your body will do if you just bring your awareness. Whatever it is that is the problem in your body, most of it can actually, not necessarily will, but can actually be healed through practice. You have to be willing to allow whatever is going to arise with the breath, whatever emotion or memory it will be, to arise. But keep your focus and not fall into the story or the emotion. Is it stronger on the in-breath or the out-breath? Which is more clear, the gap between the in-breath and the out-breath, or the gap between the out-breath and the in-breath? Is there a little jerk in that sob at the beginning, at the middle, or the end? You keep your mind involved with detail. You do not go back and replant the story and therefore replant replant the emotion and therefore replant the hangover. You allow your body to clear it without your mind believing it one more time from how you've been telling the story ad nauseum. Is that clear? Right. If the disciple intends to sway his body, he should make a mental note such as intending, intending. And while in the act of swaying. In some cases, it may so happen, I think this is very polite the way he brings this up, that the disciple, while being occupied with his usual contemplation, finds his body swaying to and fro, or maybe even bouncing up and down. Doesn't say bouncing up and down. He's very polite about it. You may find your body swaying to and fro, or shining with light, you know? You just don't know. You may find all kinds of things happen that basically aren't possible. He should not be alarmed or worried about this. He should know that he's having a body witness experience. Oh, it doesn't say that here either. At the same time, he should not be pleased with and wish for it. Exactly. You see, you keep the mind even and on your practice. You keep your mind out of that experience. Because where the mind goes, the winds gather. So if something is actually clearing in your body and you put your mind in there, you're just making sure it won't clear. You keep your mind on your meditation experience. Never mind what's happening. When you do the review, you'll be able to find out. You figure out what the breath is doing. That's all you do. No judgment. You know how important it is to send all your stories? And they will just swallow you up otherwise. At the same time, you should not be pleased with it and wish for it. On the other hand, you must bear in mind that swaying will automatically cease if you keep his mind firmly on the swaying. So they're saying here, and this is how they do it with insight, put your mind on the swaying. So for ordinary body witness, that's pretty good. If you have an experience that has to do with trauma, that might not actually be so suitable. And it isn't necessarily so that your meditation instructor will understand how to work with greater trauma. Because in my experience, a lot of people do not know. They just say, oh, well, you're not somebody who should be meditating. Okay. At the same time, all right. This is how in the insight practice, this is how it's worked with. You just make a mental note such as swaying in a regulated manner, neither slowly nor quickly, till swaying ceases. And that's fine, that will work. If he finds that swaying becomes intense in spite of his making a mental note, he should lean against the wall or post or lie down on his bed and then proceed with his contemplation. And sometimes that will work too. The disciple should act in the same manner if he finds himself shaking or trembling. At times when his oral contemplation is developed, he may feel a thrill off and on, or he may feel a chill passing through the back or through the whole body. This is nothing but piti, feeling of intense interest or rapture, see? Mm-hmm. Buddhist rapture. Mm-hmm. Which naturally occurs in the course of contemplation when it is good. And it actually does feel rapturous when it's happening. There is this calm center, and maybe there'll be these chills, cold or hot energies moving through the body, but there's this center calm, and it's really quite extraordinary, wonderful feeling. And it will, that people will heal your body. When his mind is fixed in contemplation, the disciple may be startled with the slightest sound. This so happens because the disciple can feel more strongly the effect of fasa, which is sense door impression, while in a state of good concentration. And that too is true. There is a greater sensitivity when you're doing the practice so that you do feel the impact of sound that is happening anytime, but you're not usually aware of it. So if a sound happens, you feel the impact of the shock of that in your body. The disciple should make a mental note of his intention first when he is going to change position of his body or limbs, and then proceed with every action of the movement, which should be carried out slowly. So I think that's enough for today. I think it's 4 o'clock, and we've covered quite a lot, haven't we? So this is like basically how to begin to develop the awareness, the 4 foundations of mindfulness, how you develop the mindfulness, and the beginning of applying it to the body. And so on Saturday and Sunday, we will continue to develop so you understand how in Buddhism this stages of development feed one into the other, so that there is clearly a vehicle towards seeing things as they are. And then the work is to do that with compassionate, non-clinging awareness. So any last questions, answers, comments, or complaints? Maybe we could talk about that on Saturday. Are you going to be here then? Because it could take a little longer, and it's 4, and I have somebody, we've had a long day. I have somebody who said they wanted to see me. Maybe they won't turn up, but that's okay. Any other? If that one will wait, I would prefer that. Thank you. You notice this extremely beautiful gold light in your heart. And it spreads through your body. Pours through your pores in every direction, above, below, in front, behind, right, left, four quarters. Moves right through this room. It just fills this room. Hits through the atmosphere, through the ocean. Wherever there's suffering due to ignorance of body, speech, and mind, do you feel it washing out? Somebody you want to pray for, just imagine them just being washed by the shoulder. How about George Bush? He needs prayer. Just imagine it just washing out, and you think whatever wholesomeness has been gathered by our coming together, being shared with all.